Forward to our upcoming gospel meeting, and I hope that you are as well. As we look at this concept and this idea of a gospel meeting, this morning I want us to look at the idea of having a great gospel meeting. You know, a gospel meeting is an opportunity to accomplish several important goals. But first and foremost, you have the goal of evangelism. That's one of the main purposes of having a gospel meeting. It is for those who are not Christians to invite them to have the opportunity to hear the gospel preached. And for those who are Christians who have been unfaithful, for them to have the opportunity to come back. A second purpose of a gospel meeting is for the purpose of encouragement. It's meant to be an opportunity to encourage, to strengthen the body of Christ. There's a third opportunity here also, the purpose of being educational, to help us to learn more about God and about His Word. But you know, all of these things are predicated upon us being here and upon us inviting others. As we go through the sermon, let me say this caveat real quick. I recognize when I talk about being here that that's not going to apply for everybody. I know that there are those who are self-quarantined during this time. There are others who find themselves under quarantine during this time because they've come in contact with somebody with the virus or have it themselves. That's not who I'm talking to when I talk about us being here. I'm talking to those of us who can be here and who should be here so that we can worship God together. You know, sometimes our gospel meetings don't accomplish their intended purpose because we don't do our part. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, "So shall my," God speaking here, "word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God has done and will always do His part. But we have to do our part. You know, a gospel meeting is not something new. In fact, you can date it all the way back to the first century in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, we have what I would suggest to you is a gospel meeting taking place at the house of a man by the name of Cornelius. And I invite your attention there this morning. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 24. "In the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him.' A group was gathered, a preacher came, a message was delivered, and people responded." Friends, that's a gospel meeting. And as we look at it this morning, three things that I want us to notice that made it a great one. Three things that if we do the same thing will make ours a great one as well. Number one this morning, we see the appeal. We see the appeal. And as we look at the appeal here in these verses, we see that he called his relatives and close friends. Notice verse 24 with me. "In the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and..." It's not just Cornelius that's there. "And had called together his relatives and close friends." Yes, Cornelius was there. He was ready. He was excited. He was willing and ready to hear what Peter had to say. But also notice he had called his close friends and relatives there with him. He realized the importance of the message that was going to be preached. And what was that message? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, where Peter is recounting for the men in Jerusalem what had taken place, he refers to what was preached as the words of salvation. Friends, that's the same message that is preached today. It's the same word that is preached by gospel preachers throughout this nation. The words of salvation. And as we look at this idea of Cornelius calling his relatives and close friends, it shows us three things concerning Cornelius. Number one, it shows his concern. It shows his concern. Cornelius understood the importance of one soul. Friend, your soul is your most valuable possession. There is nothing else in your possession that is more valuable than that. Your life, your health, your wealth, and the things that you have accumulated, none of those are more important than the soul which you possess. Jesus illustrated this fact in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, where he asked the question, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We see Cornelius here was concerned about the spiritual well-being of others. Not just neighboring congregations, not those that we know that are already faithful members of the Lord's church, but those who are not Christians and those who are not faithful. Because of his great concern, he called others to hear. Y'all, there's so many ways that we have at our disposal to invite people to either come in person, or as Mr. Steve mentioned during the announcements, or watch on the live stream. We have invitations that are sitting out there that can be used. We can paste a phone call. We can hang up flyers. We can send out personal invitations to individuals. On Facebook, we have the event that was created that we can use to invite others. There are so many different things at our disposal that we can use to invite others to be here with us. As Cornelius did that, the first thing that he showed was he showed his concern. But a second thing that Cornelius shows by his inviting friends and relatives to come, he showed his conviction. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we learn a little bit about Cornelius. Now, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to all the people and prayed to God always. You know what a person is convicted about by what they talk about. It doesn't take long in meeting someone and talking with them to figure out some of the things that are most important to them. What does it say about a person who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be a follower of Christ, but says nothing for him? Who says nothing about him? You see, Cornelius inviting others to come and hear what Peter was going to preach, it showed his conviction concerning God. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus talks about our confessing or not confessing him before men. And many times we use this passage, and there's no wrong or harm in doing so, but we use it in reference to that confession that is made before baptism. But I would suggest to you, within the context of what Jesus is talking about here, it's a broader statement than that. The confession that he's talking about is a confession that's made by the life that we live, by the words that we say. It's not a one-time event, but it's a daily thing. Jesus is talking about us confessing him in all that we do. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Friends, let's be a group of people that confesses Christ in all that we do. Cornelius' appeal here should be ours. If we want to have a great gospel meeting, to invite our friends and our family, it will show our concern, it will show our care, and it will show our conviction. Number two, jumped ahead. The second thing that we see is the attitude. The attitude. And this is important. Notice the attitude of Cornelius. He was here to hear. Notice verse 33 with me. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present, we're here before God, to hear all the things commanded you by God. Our first point dealt mainly with the outward, inviting others, making sure that we're here ourselves. But now we have a point that turns inward. It's more than just showing up. There's more to it than that. We need to be here, yes. But we need to have the attitude that we are here to hear the messages that are going to be proclaimed. Two things that this attitude in Cornelius shows us. Number one, it shows us that he had a reverence for God. That he had a reverence for God. If we love Christ, if we love God, then we're going to be present with an attitude of ready to hear what's going to be presented. Stories told of a young man who risked his life to take down a gunman. He saved a dozen people in the process, but in that process, his life was taken. The father puts together a memorial service for his son. And no one of those 12 people showed up. Not them, not any of the members of their family. No one showed up to pay respect for this one who gave his life for them. What do you think would be the father's response? Probably angry, right? Confused? Can't understand why it is that his son sacrificed his life and no one came to pay their respect for what he had done? Would the father be justified in having that response? I would say that he would. What about God, who sent his son? His son who gave his life for each and every one of us. Yes, we need to be present, but we need to have an attitude of reverence for the one whom we are worshiping. We see that in the attitude of Cornelius here. But a second thing we see in Cornelius' attitude is a respect for God's word. Not just a reverence for God, but a respect for his word. Notice you go back to what Cornelius said to Peter. He said, now we are all present before God to hear all the things given to you to say from God. It was a respect for God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Romans 1:16, Paul would tell us that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power to God unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek. He would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and say that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is immensely important, friends, and we should have a respect for it. It's important that we appeal for people to come. It's important that we are here ourselves. But it is equally important that we come with the right attitude, that we are here to hear. That brings us to the third thing that Cornelius did that made it a great gospel meeting there and that will make our meeting great as well, and that is the action. The action. The action is to fear God and work righteousness. Notice in verses 34 and 35, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." What did that look like? Well, in verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." You know, the end result of the meeting sounds a lot like Solomon's conclusion in the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, where Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." We see that same idea here with Peter. Fear God and work righteousness. Two things that we want to see happen in the gospel meeting. Number one, we obviously want people to be saved. I hope that's our attitude, that we want all men to be saved, because that's God's attitude. 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul writes, "God, speaking of him, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the attitude of the God of heaven. And it should be our attitude as well, that we want all of mankind to be saved. For those who are not Christians, that means obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian for the first time. For those who are Christians and have been unfaithful, that means coming back to him. The first result we hope that we see in the gospel meeting is those that are saved. But then a second important thing that we want to see is we want people to be strengthened. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul writes that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Well, how are we strengthened by the Holy Spirit? Well, I would submit to you one way, and we ask another question: what did the Holy Spirit give us? Gave us the Word, right? Y'all, this is yes and this is no. I completely lost all of you. Those masks get hot and you're like, he gave us the Word, right? And if we study the Word, if we hear the Word, if we apply those things that we hear and that we study, what can we receive? We receive strength from that Word. That's what we can accomplish with a gospel meeting. People being saved. And look, that doesn't always happen with someone coming down the aisle. That seed might be planted for the very first time. It takes time for that seed to grow. It may be someone who has something privately that no one knows nothing about that they're struggling with. They turn to God, they repent of that, and seek forgiveness. That's a response. It might not be public. We might not even see it. But a gospel meeting can accomplish that. And then, friends, we can be strengthened. I've had the opportunity to hear Brother D. Barry deliver quite a few messages at Polishing the Pulpit and others that I've watched on live streams. I can assure you, if you come, if you listen, and if you apply the things that are said, you will walk away from the meeting stronger than you went into it. God's Word does that. And it does it every single time if we'll allow it to. The gospel meeting at Cornelius' house was a success. And friends, ours can be too, but only if we make the necessary preparation. Let's appeal to people to be here and make sure that we're here as well. Let's come with the right attitude and be here to hear. And then we can have the right action, saved if necessary, strengthened through God's Word. Let me ask you this morning, friend, are you a Christian? If not, we would encourage you to make that decision this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn from sin and repentance, to confess that belief before men, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can put Christ on for the very first time, friend. You can leave this assembly a Christian, a child of God. I realize many here have done that, Have you turned away from Him? Friend, why not come back home? You have a God who loves you, who stands with open arms ready to receive you. But only if you'll turn to Him. Friend, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd encourage you to do it right now. Together we